Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Lighthouse. It's so good to see you all. If you will notice, once again, our kids are not in here. The last Sunday of the month, we have what we call Youth Converge. And so all the students are having a combined worship service with the kids and the teenagers. How many of you know it's important for the older to pour into the younger? Amen. So that's what this is about. The teenagers are pouring into our children, and I love that. But I also love when adults, everyone say, that's me, when you pour into the younger ones too. So you all have a part to play in that, to encourage our teenagers, to encourage our kids. So don't take that lightly. And that wasn't even my notes to say, but I'm just telling you, it's our job to raise up this next generation, and that's all of us. So whenever you have opportunity, speak and pour into their lives. We have several announcements. This is coming into August, a very busy month. So I want to remind you, we do have a Lighthouse app. If you get that downloaded on your phone, you can stay up to date with everything. Or you can go to the website and check it out. Or back at the Welcome Center, they have monthly papers that you can check out the calendar. Because we have a lot going on. So get involved with what you can. So first of all, we have our monthly nursing home ministry today. It is at 2 p.m. at Skilled Nursing and Rehab. So if you're able to go, please go and attend that at 2. They would love to see you. Also, in case you haven't heard, this is kind of new information, we are doing our second annual teen versus adult softball game. So there is a place for everybody. If you don't play, like I think I have no intention of playing, but I will come and cheer them on, and I will eat food from the concession stand. So if that's all you want to do, that's fine. But that will be taking place on Sunday, August 13th. They're going to start at 2 p.m. at the Waterworks Park. You can invite your friends, family, whoever enjoys watching or playing softball, and come out and watch those teenagers get beat. I mean, watch the game. We'll see what happens. Also, the same day on the 13th, we're inviting all the young adults, that's ages 18 up through age 30, to come to our house for a young adult cookout. So we're going to provide some food and fellowship and just spend some time together. So that is August 13th after the softball game, so right around 5 o'clock. And then also in August, we are having our annual baptism at the creek. So that's going to take place on the 20th, right after service. So we'll get out to the creek right around 1 p.m. I've had several people say they want to be baptized already. But what we need from you is for you to show up to support them. So please mark it on your calendars. Go to lunch a little later that day. I promise they won't run out of food. You'll find food somewhere. And come and support your brothers and sisters in Christ as they make a public declaration. So I'm excited about that. August 20th at the Temachi Creek. And then Kids Crusade is coming up. A reminder, they have a little display in the back with a slip of paper that if you want to donate some items, they're looking for some food items or money donation. And the Kids Crusade will take place August 26th at 11 a.m. at the park. And then at 5 p.m. we're having a service right here. Pastor Randy Waters from Botkins is coming, and I guarantee you will not be bored. Mm-hmm. So come at 5 p.m. and support the kids as they have that crusade. And then this Wednesday, does anyone else feel like summer has flown by? This Wednesday is our last Target service for the season already. So if you haven't come to one, you got one more opportunity. So Wednesday at 7 p.m. we'll be at the gazebo. I will be ministering this month, but it is also our sing. So if you have a special song that you want to sing, see Sister Betty, let her know, and she will get you on the list because we want to give you an opportunity to minister through that gift. So that'll be this Wednesday. And my last announcement is Sunday is our first ever bilingual service. We are super excited about what God is doing, and I think honestly we have no idea the extent of what he's doing, but we're just going to follow. And so I encourage you next Sunday just to come welcoming, loving on people, praying for the service, and come with your patience. Because if you've never been to a bilingual service, it's a little bit different. So you'll hear it in English, and then you'll hear it in Spanish. So be patient and just still let the Holy Spirit flow. Because what happens sometimes is when that's going on, we get in the flesh instead of in the spirit, and we don't want that. We want to stay in tune with the spirit. We want to keep seeding the atmosphere that God, whatever you're doing in this place,
amen,
we're here for you.
Amen.
And so my scripture today is from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. And it says, so now you Gentiles, and the word Gentile was just a group of people who were not God's chosen people. They were outsiders. That's who we are, unless you're Jewish. We are the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. But he says, you are no longer strangers. You are no longer foreigners.
Amen.
You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. And so if you've ever felt like an outsider, if you've ever felt like you don't belong, I want you to say the devil is a liar.
Amen. Amen.
There is room for you in the kingdom of God. Every single person, there is room for. And so let's remember that today. Let's remember that next week as we invite people to come in. There is room for them in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And as we often say, the first time you come, you're a visitor. We love you. We'll welcome you. The second time, if you come back, you're family, which means we expect you to get in and be part of the family.
Amen.
It's no more sitting back and waiting for people to come to you. You're part of the family. You belong. So start reaching out and welcoming others, and let's be the family of God together. Amen?
Amen.
So we do have an offering. The baskets are up front. The ways to give are up on the screen. There's cash. You can write a check. You can give online through our website. So all that information is there. And also, we just got done with youth camp, so we have some pictures we're going to show while you're bringing your offering up, and you can see all the fun and what God did during our youth camp for our young people. So Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you are a faithful God, that you love us even when we're unlovable. God, that you care about us even when we feel like nobody does, and that you have called us your children. So let us come together as the body of Christ. Let us be your hands and feet in this world, and God, let us just do all that you have called us to do. Bless this offering for your work to further your kingdom in this world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Jesus Christ is made to me all I need. All I need, he alone is all my plea, he is all I need.
Oh, wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forevermore, my redemption full and sure.
Spirit, seal
Give me those words up there, Sister Elena.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the you are perfect in all of your ways.
worship you, Jesus. We give you glory and honor. Hallelujah. We lift up your name. Hallelujah. 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 Worship you, Jesus. thank you for the cross. I thank you for the cross. Can you say that with me this morning? Thank you, Father, for the cross. Thank you for the blood that you spilled. Thank you for your resurrection, that I become the resurrection in Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm gonna lift up the name of Jesus. Oh, I worship you, Jesus.
Tell of
the joy city came. Oh, I'm gonna lift up the name.
Thank you.
I will bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me, bless His holy name. For He has done great things.
He has done great things.
He has done great things. Bless His holy name. For He's done great things. Let's sing it again. For He has done great things. Look what He's done. Think about what He's done for your life. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise You, Jesus.
He has done great things. Bless His holy name.
Now congregation sing. So I will bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Go ahead and sing it again. So I will bless the Lord. I love this chorus because it says, and all that is within me, I will bless the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I love that because some days there's more in us than others. So we're not dependent upon how the day is going. We're just saying, all I got today, God, I'm giving to You.
Yeah.
Maybe less than I had yesterday or more than I had yesterday, but all I got today, I'm giving it to You, God. Hallelujah. Why don't you just lift your hands and everything you have within you, just give Him praise, give Him glory, give Him honor. It doesn't He deserve all of our praise? Hallelujah. Oh, we lift Your name, Lord Jesus. We praise Your name, Lord Jesus. We love You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You're a good God. You're a good God. Hallelujah. Even when our circumstances aren't good, You're a good God. You're a good Father, and we give You glory and praise. Hallelujah. We love You, Jesus. We love You, Jesus. I just want to go before the Lord in prayer right now. If you have a need that is on your heart, maybe it's not a personal need. Maybe it is a personal need. Maybe it's a need that you are carrying that's for somebody else. I want you to just lift your hand right now. God sees all of these lifted hands. God knows exactly why we're lifting our hand, and we're going to join our faith together right now and believe that God's going to move. The Bible says that when one rejoices, we all rejoice, and when one mourns, we all mourn, right? Whether we are someone in the body is going through something difficult, the body will go and rush to that, and we will join our faith together for that. But we also celebrate together, amen? And so what we're going to do right now is we're going to join our faith with these needs. You saw all these uplifted hands go up. God knows. And contrary to what you think, you don't need to know it all. That'll preach right there. All you need to know is somebody needs Jesus. So let's get a hold of Jesus together right now. And then after we pray, we're going to rejoice together that God has heard us and He's moving. Amen. Father, right now in the name of Jesus Christ, You see every need that's represented, whether they are online or they are here in the building. And God, we join our faith together, for we know that You have given us the answer in Jesus. He has won the victory for everything. You see the situations of life that people are in. You see the strongholds that some people are bound by. And God, I thank you that you're breaking through those strongholds right now. You see the chains that have tied people down, the chains of addiction, the chains of past hurts, Lord. I thank you that you are breaking the chains right now off of people. You see the demonic oppression in people's lives. Father, I thank you for deliverance right now from demonic oppression. I thank you for sound, peaceful minds right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you for healing and health in the body right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, God, for salvation coming to people's lives. I thank you for household salvations right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you are bringing financial breakthrough in people's lives where they have been short, Lord, or things that they are going through. I thank you that that bill is going to be miraculously paid because of our faith in you right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you're comforting all those that mourn today. Those that are walking through hardships of the passing of a loved one, I thank you, God, that you are comforting the hearts of those, Lord, that you're bringing peace to their minds, you're bringing strength to carry on, and you're giving them hope right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Every need is met by your name, Lord, and we give you praise for it. We give you honor. We give you glory. Father, you see our nation. You see the church of our nation. God, I thank you that you're rising up your church in this hour to be a shining light in this darkness. And the darkness will never overtake the light, but the light will always overtake the darkness. I thank you that we are bringing change to our nation because we are your people. And we are going forth speaking the truth in love. And we are the righteous, holy people that you've sent us to be, to change the world around us. So I thank you for that, Father. Now, God, we just stand in faith right now, knowing that you've heard every prayer that was lifted up to you right now. In our finite mind, that seems impossible, but you heard every word that was spoken right now in faith. And God, we just stand together rejoicing that you will move, that you are meeting these needs. For your word says, we have not because we ask not. So we've come before you asking. And God, we know that you will meet every need. And we give you thanks for it right now. We give you glory for it. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you just lift your hands, give God some praise for what he has done and what he is doing. Amen. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So I will bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Hallelujah. We give you glory, we give you praise, we give you honor, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you are glad that you know Jesus? Amen. I'm so grateful that he is a personal friend of mine. Amen. And he is so good to us. You may be seated if you wish to be this morning. It's so good to be with you. We just want to welcome all of our visitors this morning, everyone that has come and for your first time. And like Pastor Alicia says, if this is your second time, you're family already. So we're just glad that you're here. I'm just excited about what God's doing in our young people. I want to give a testimony. I know that they're back in YCS this morning already, but I mean, our camps were just amazing, seeing young people pouring their hearts out before Jesus and God just ministering to them in such a great way. And I'm just grateful. And I want you to encourage them. Don't discourage people. Don't discourage our young people when they come back. If Listen, if they are being a little radical for you, put up with them. Okay? You just put up with them. If they're being a little crazy about this Jesus thing that they experienced, don't throw a wet blanket on them, okay? I understand that sometimes wisdom needs to step in with zeal, but sometimes we just need to let some wildfire burn for a little bit. Amen. Some of you are on board. I said we just need to let some wildfire burn sometimes. Amen. And let God do some things and let God speak to some people. And then here's the other side of it. Don't get discouraged if you see the enemy attacking and things coming at them, things that they dealt with before they went to camp. Look, that's going to happen. But we're going to stand in faith that they've got victory. Amen. That God's done an amazing work in their life, and we're going to continue to see that victory. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I'm just excited about what God's doing in our midst. It's just so good to be with all of you this morning and worship the Lord with you. Now, we have a great service for you this morning and a great word that's going to be delivered. I'm not going to be preaching this morning, but we're going to have our Hispanic pastor preach for us this morning. And just so if you don't know that, Pastor Darius and Pastor Dunya Herrera, did I say it right? You're not supposed to pronounce the H. Us hillbillies are used to pronouncing the H. We would say Herrera, right? But it's Herrera, right? Okay. And they are our Hispanic pastors, if you don't know that. They are on our leadership team. They are leadership in the church. We are so excited to have them on board. And next week, yes, give them a hand. Next week, we are going to make history. I don't say that arrogantly, because history is his story. His story, right? His story was go into all the world and preach the gospel. And, you know, America has been called the melting pot, right? So American churches should look like the melting pot. Amen, Pastor Joe. There is no segregation in the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. So we are making his story next week. His story. We are seeing the kingdom of God in action. And I'm excited for you because I've gotten to be a part of several services like this in my life already. I've gotten to be in services where it's translated into Spanish, or sometimes it's translated into English, or sometimes it's been translated into Swahili, or even other tribal languages. And to me, there's something so special about it. There's something so special about it. So I just want you to come expecting next week. Come prepared and ready. Now, I know that you already do this, okay? So this is not me getting on you. This is just a reminder. But love on people. I'm coming expecting that we're going to have lots of guests next week. Amen? And you may not be able to say one single word to them. You may say hola in your English accent. But none of that matters, because people can always understand the language of love. They can always get that. And so let's speak the language of love. Some of these people are going to come, and it's going to be the first time that they've been in America that they've actually felt people that loved them and cared for them. It's going to be the first time that they experience it. Let's make sure we do a good job. By the power of the Holy Spirit, and the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts. Let's minister to the world. Amen? Amen. That's doing the impossible, right? And I'm so excited for what God is doing. I'm excited for this morning. Now, I will not be translating for Pastor Darius. We're just going to let him preach in English this morning. I'm just kidding you. But we want him to come. We're going to dismiss our children to go to nursery. If you didn't take your kids back to nursery already, you're welcome to do that. Why don't you give Pastor Darius a hand as he comes?
Thank you, Pastor. Following up with this thing that God is doing this week, Brother Jorge from Panama and I, we experienced the favor of God and the power of God in an amazing way. We went out to preach the gospel together, and a Panamanian and a Cuban. The devil is in trouble. That's some hot blood right there. So we went to the place, and we didn't know, and we started preaching and inviting people and giving tracts, I mean the invitation card and the New Testament. And then there comes out this lady, I'm not going to say where, because I don't want to get nobody in trouble, but this lady comes out and says, what do we got here? So we talked to her, like, we got the word of God, we're preaching the gospel. Then she tells us a couple of things and she leaves. And then another guy from security came out, dressed in black. And he's like, what are you guys doing? So we told him what we were doing. So he asks, did Mrs. X, whoever her name was, tell you anything? No, we just talked and she said hi. And then he says, well, I'm not going to tell you anything either. Just keep preaching the gospel. Keep preaching the gospel. Right, brother? It was the favor of God. And when we went to Walmart, I can say Walmart then. We went to Walmart and then we witnessed to people in the middle of Walmart laying hands, praying for a family from Venezuela. This is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God cannot be restrained in four walls, folks. Yesterday, and this is another testimony, yesterday my wife and I, we were talking to a group of Latinos or a group of Hispanics, I can say Latinos, we were talking to them, and then one young lady said these, where she lives right here in Cary, folks, right here in our town, and she said, I left Venezuela wanting to be baptized in water and I couldn't, and since I got here, I've been looking for a church, but there's no Hispanic churches around. So I told her, you're having one right around the corner there, right there by the cornfields. We are having a Hispanic church there. She goes, well, I've been facing depression and a lot of struggles, but now I see this. And I said, God answered your prayers. So if we are doing this thing for one person, it's worth it. It's worth it. And I want to thank you guys for embracing the vision. Yes, give it to the Lord. That's for God. That's for the Holy Spirit. Let's do a little practice here now. Are you ready to have fun? Come on. You're supposed to come to church to have fun, right? Church is not a funeral. Jesus is alive. So we can praise God. We can actually sometimes funerals are more are louder than churches sometimes. And that's not good. We're here to celebrate the life of somebody, and that's fantastic. I love it. But we're here to celebrate the life of Jesus too, not because he's dead, but because he's alive. So, quiero comenzar contándoles una historia. I want to start by telling you a story. This is a little practice for next Sunday. I love when Pastor Alicia says so graciously, be patient. And I'm going to say it this way. If you're not patient, we need to pray for you then. With a smile on my face. I want to tell you a little story acerca de un pastor que tomó su pastorado en una iglesia nueva. It was a pastor that stepped into the pastoral role in a new church. The church was facing a lot of troubles and situations, no growth, a lot of tension between the members. La iglesia estaba pasando por prueba, tensión entre los miembros. And then the pastor took over, and that was the first Sunday that he was supposed to preach. Primer domingo que debía predicar el pastor. And then he felt in his spirit that he needed to preach about love among brethren. Right? So sintió que tenía que predicar acerca del amor entre los hermanos. And then he preached a tremendous message about loving each other. And they all loved it. And people were like, wow, we have a pastor who is a good speaker. He can preach. Tenemos un pastor tremendo que puede predicar. And then Next Sunday comes, and the pastor gives them same exact message. El próximo domingo, el pastor predica el mismo mensaje. And then members of the church are a little concerned about this now because, okay, wait a second. Maybe because he moved from his town to here, he's a little tired. He doesn't remember that he preached that message here before. Now he's preaching it again. We're going to let that pass. But a few of the members were like, this is the second time we hear the same message. What is okay? What is wrong with this pastor? Bueno, algunos miembros están preocupados y dicen, segunda vez que predica lo mismo. Okay, third Sunday. Oh, let's invite pastor to come and speak the word of God. Guess what? He preached the same message. Tercer domingo predica el mismo mensaje. Now the leadership is a little nervous. Because you know how it works in church, right? So leaders are supposed to be on board, all in, and sometimes they're the first ones who get a little nervous about things. And they freak out about little things. So they got a little nervous. And they said, okay, this is the third time. I don't know what he's doing. Maybe he's not a little bit, he's a little, I won't say a word, you all know. He's a little loco. So now the leaders call the board of trustees and say, we need to talk about something here. He has preached three Sundays in a row the same exact message. I hope he doesn't do it again. Next Sunday comes. There's the pastor in the pulpit. He preached the same exact message. Now we're going to have a meeting. After church, the board of trustees, the deacons, the leaders, everybody's calling the pastor. Pastor, we need to have to talk. We need to have a talk. Let's talk about this. Pastor, have you realized that you have preached the same message? ¿Te has dado cuenta que has predicado el mismo mensaje four times? Cuatro veces. Have you realized you preached four times the same message? And pastor says, yes, I know. El pastor dice, sí, lo sé. I said, but how have you done that? People want to hear a new word. La gente quiere oír una nueva palabra. And the pastor says, well, I realized that the first Sunday I preached about loving each other, I spent the whole week watching you guys, visiting some of you, listening to you talking about each other, and I realized you didn't obey the first Sunday message. So I thought I needed to preach it again the second Sunday. And then I spent another week just watching you, listening to what you talk about each other, and I realized you didn't love each other that week. So I had to preach it again. So guess what? I'm going to be preaching the same message until I see you obeying what God is telling you to do. And that, folks, that, ladies and gentlemen, is something that we need to realize. Yes. We hear many, many times the same thing in church, but we don't do it. And we hear it about revival so many times. And we hear how we can break a revival, how we can start a revival. But we go home and we just do the same old thing. I love the fact that revival must be a word in our vocabulary, must be a word that we need to talk about every day. And I love the fact that we call a weekend revival weekend, and then we have a little fun, and we go back to the same old religious stuff. You got quiet on me now, but I love you. The thing is that in order to experience revival, the church needs to stretch. There's a stretch that must be taking place if we really want to experience revival. I say this with a lot of thankfulness and grace in my heart and appreciation to the Lord that he allowed me to experience a revival in my country in the 1990s. Actually, from 1995 that I came to the Lord until 2001, we experienced a tremendous revival in the island of Cuba. Let me tell you what happened. Churches could not hold the amount of people coming in. In every service, we would see 17, 20, 25 people coming to Jesus. People being healed without being touched by any preacher or anybody. One time I saw a lady coming with a leg in a cast, and she had a pair of crutches, and then she was there standing, and all of a sudden, The crutches fell on the floor. She started jumping up and down. God healed that leg instantly. Nobody prayed for her. I saw people that practice witchcraft coming to church, being under demonic possession, moving like a snake under the chairs, being prayed on, being released for the Lord. I saw whole construction wagons full of idols and things that were dedicated to Satan. We burned all those. Revival has to make the church stretch. A church that is not willing to be stretched cannot experience revival. Are we ready to have people coming through those doors that had operations, cutting some of their organs or implanting some organs? You know what I'm talking about. Are we ready to have drug addicts that smell like pee and poop coming into through those doors, sitting in those chairs, worshiping God with their beards nasty? And are we ready for that? Because if we are, then we are getting stretched for revival. Because revival is not about the church. Revival is about winning the souls, the people that are cast out with no solution. That's what revival is. And God, in the middle of revivals, equips the church, gives the church gifts, but not for our sake, not for our enjoyment, not for our own entertainment, but to reach the lost. I love revival. Revival breaks molds and breaks frames and breaks labels. Revival is about new souls for the kingdom of God. Revival brings transformation to the church, but also to the city. Folks, let me be clear to you. If we experience the power of God in this building, but we don't take it outside, it's worthless. If we receive the Holy Ghost, if we receive the anointing, if we receive the power of God in here, the reason why God does it is for us to be empowered to come against the devil out there and reach those people that are unreached and unreachable. Some of you don't want to praise God this morning because I know this is a little harsh for your little comfort zone. But let me tell you this. Somebody got out of his or her comfort zone so you could be here. Somebody had to pay a price. Listen, nothing is free. Well, no, preacher, salvation is free. It didn't cost you, but it costed him. The chair where you're seated was not free. Nothing is free. There must be a cost, and our cost as a church must be stretched. I am preaching to a church that I know that is willing to be stretched. I know that. That's why I'm preaching this message. And I know that. And that's why God laid in my heart this word. Revival is where the Father and Jesus are praised. And the Holy Spirit is manifested and moves freely. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere today. I'm going to use two scriptures today. The first scripture is in the book of Romans, chapter number 8, verse 11. And the second scripture I'm going to use is from the Old Testament. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to use these two scriptures in this sermon, but we're going to connect them. We're going to see the relationship between these two with the idea that God has laid in my heart. God stretches for revival. Can you say that with me? God stretches for revival. Can you say it again? God stretches for revival. I'm going to do like the pastor that repeat it again until everybody does it. Okay, say with me, God stretches for revival. There's two or three other people that are kind of deaf and need prayer, and I'm going to speak louder for you. Say it out loud. God stretches for revival. Yes, you got a Latino preaching, that's what you get. So Romans 8:11 says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, if the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your what? That body that you have right now. To your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Pastor, I'm a little old. Doesn't matter. He gives life to your old body. Pastor, but I have one leg that doesn't work really well. Doesn't matter. He gives life to that body. He doesn't take people and say, oh, you look nicer. I'm going to give you more life than this one that doesn't look as you. No, he gives life through his spirit to everybody. It doesn't matter how old or how you look. Doesn't matter your bank account or the car you drive. Life is given to you through the spirit that dwells in you. And that spirit is the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The second scripture I want to use is in the second book of Samuel, chapter 6, verse 11. And it says, the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, 90 days, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now, we got two scriptures here, and we need to create some kind of foundation for the main idea that God has laid in my heart and he has told me to share with you this morning. And the first scripture is written by the Apostle Paul and in the book of Romans, and it's been said that the book of Romans is the most theological book in the Bible. It contains so much theology. It talks about the Spirit of God. It talks about salvation. It talks about redemption. It talks about marriage. It talks about forgiveness. It talks about the election of Israel. It talks about the Christian spiritual life. It talks about authority. It's a very theological book. And now in this chapter 8, verse 11, Paul reveals something that is very important for every Christian to know. Theologically, practically, and in all matters, that we all have dwelling in us the Holy Spirit. He makes that very clear. He says, folks, if you are a child of God, you have living inside of you the Holy Spirit. Isn't that something great? I gotta thank God for that. Do you? Because I have a lot of shortcomings. Yet, he lives inside of me. So, now Paul goes on saying, and he says, folks, he doesn't live inside of you just for the sake of you having fun and say, look, I got goosebumps, I got the Holy Ghost. No, he lives in you, and Paul says, to give you life. Now, when he writes that phrase, give you life, the original language compounds two words, brings together two Greek words. The word zoe, which means eternal life, God-given life, and the word poiesis, which is the word simply that means that God accelerates, produces, moves forward. So Paul is trying to say that the Holy Spirit gives you life in an accelerated, boosting way, dynamic way, strong way, active way, fruitful way, productive way, action in you, which means Paul says, when he is in you, he gives you the ability, the power, the action, the prompt, the strength to move in his power. Zoopoieo. That's a Greek word. It means he invigorates you and he gives your mortal body living young. Are you listening? Now, we have now in the Old Testament a very interesting event where David is trying to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. But he made a little mistake. Little, but mortal, lethal, and dangerous. And it was indicated that the Ark of the Covenant should only be carried on the Levite's shoulders. But David puts the Ark of the Covenant in a wagon with animals pulling it. That was a mistake. God didn't want his presence, his glory, carried by animals.
God wanted his glory and his presence carried by the people appointed. Can I say something? When the work of God is not done by people who have been called, it will not prosper. Let me tell you a little bit about church in Cuba, not here. Sometimes people want to do God's work without God calling them to that position. And they create more problems than solutions. How do I know that a leader or somebody who is in the ministry has been called by God? Because that person will bring more solutions than problems. Don't get quiet on me. And then it's more difficult to take him out when it's way easier in the first place not to bring them in. Let me put a smile. Some of you are looking at me so serious right now. I'm talking about a church in Cuba, folks. Come on, relax. All I'm saying is this. Everybody has been called by God. But you just have to find the right place where God called you. Oh, my gosh. Do not choose to be called in the popular places when probably God wants to use you on the unpopular places. Because the popular place is not what the people clap. The popular place to serve is where you're effective for the kingdom. Yeah, come on. And then David makes the mistake of putting God's presence and God's Ark of the Covenant in a wagon with animals. And guess what happens when they're going back to Jerusalem? Oh my gosh, David is all happy about it. And we're bringing the Ark back. But David, you missed that one. And then Uzzah, when he sees that the animals are kind of like struggling to walk, and then the Ark of the Covenant is a little wobbly and all that stuff, it's almost like going upstairs Air Force One. You know what I'm talking about? I'm sorry. Hallelujah. We have fun in church. We have to, guys. I'm sorry. If you get mad at me for saying these things, I'm sorry. And then Uzzah says, it's going to fall down. And stretches his hand to grab the Ark of the Covenant. And God in heaven, who was not happy about the way things were being done, strikes Uzzah. Have you always wondered why? Because I have. The guy was just trying to help. God, really? He's trying to help and you. Pow! And God says, well, first of all, there are consequences when you do things wrong. And the consequences will not only be for you, but for those around you. That's tough. But it's a law. And then, second of all, we do not know the heart of Uzzah. We know this, that David takes a major decision. And he's so, listen, sad and mad at the same time. Have you ever been sad and mad at the same time? Where's my real people at? Now don't tell me I'm always happy, happy, happy. No, you're not. Sometimes you get mad and sad about things taking place. And David has this encounter of emotions. And then he takes a decision. He says, we cannot continue with this. We got to reset this. We got to reboot this. That's what a good leader does. When you make a mistake, you stop, you analyze, you take decisions based on fixing what you broke. And then David says, we're going to leave this thing in a house in the neighborhood. We're so close to a guy that I know. His name is Obed Edom. We're going to leave this thing in his house. This thing that represents the presence of God. We're going to leave it in his house. And then we're going to figure out how to bring it back to Jerusalem, but not today. Well, that thing remained at Obed-Edom's house for 3 months. And this is what the Bible says. The house of Obed-Edom prospered significantly, visually, abundantly, while he had the Ark of the Covenant in his house. I want God to prosper this house. I want God to prosper your family. in my family, I want God to prosper you as an individual. So here is the question that we need to ask. First of all, the Holy Spirit dwells in you, all right? He gives you what? Life, zoopeo. He gives you life, accelerated life, productive life, powerful life. Isn't that the same Spirit that was in the Ark of the Covenant? Aren't we now the Arks of the Covenant? Isn't it the church today, the Ark of the Covenant? Because it's the church, the ones that carry the presence of God. Did you get that? That's called Old Testament, New Testament. That's called connecting the old one with the new one in a very simple way. Now, this is the question. If Pastor Joe would come to you, remember, you have a family, you have kids at home. Pastor Joe comes to you and says, Steve, this object right here kills people. You saw it. Somebody touches it, dead. I want you to keep this in your house for a while. Oh, yeah, Pastor Joe, I love you so much. Give me that thing. Don't touch it. First rule, Steve. Somebody touch. You just saw what happened to Uzzah. Steve, maybe you're the nicest guy on earth, but I'm not. I will tell Pastor Joe, why don't you take it to your house? I ain't taking that thing. That thing, when somebody touches it. But David asks Obed-Edom to bring the Ark of the Covenant to his house. And Obed-Edom accepts. I could say so many things about that. But it's so important to realize that something, Obed-Edom knew something that I need to know. That made him take that decision, right, Jesse? He had to know something that I need to know. So even though I don't talk to dead people, I asked Obed-Edom. And he didn't answer to me because he's dead. But the Holy Spirit answered to me what was in his heart. And he told me to tell you what was in his heart that was able to be stretched to bring revival into his house, his personal life, and in history. Because I'm going to share something at the end of my message about him. Now, this is where it gets better. Obed-Edom, let's talk to him for a while. Obed-Edom is sitting right here. How you doing, Obed-Edom? You're doing good? Are you out of your mind? How in the world you accepted to bring the Ark of the Covenant into your house when you had kids running around? How do you say yes to David? Well, the first thing Obed-Edom would probably tell us is, David was my king. And I had to obey. Yeah, but he was not the king of kings. Well, but he represented him. And he had authority and was appointed and anointed by God. Therefore, I had to honor his decision. Am I talking to somebody here? I can preach to pastors. I can preach to leaders. So, the second reason why probably Obed-Edom will tell me is this, and this is where it's so important that we take notice on this, folks, and is that Obed-Edom focused on the presence, not the precedent. So he had a choice to look at what happened with the Ark of the Covenant or what could happen by having God's presence in his house. And then he's standing between these two decisions. Do I reject it because that thing kills people? Or do I accept it because God is going to be in my house? I'll tell you this much. If we really want revival in this house, we will have to make some decisions if we accept the fact of what God's want to do. Not based on what has happened in your past or before. Come on. You cannot reach out towards with your head looking backwards. You cannot base your faith on what happened. You have to base your faith on what could happen if I keep believing. But they have prayed for me so many times that God has not healed me. Well, if you want somebody to pray for you based on the times that God didn't heal you, He will never heal you probably. But if you base your faith on the promises of God saying, they have prayed for me 1,000 times, but 1,001 don't matter. Maybe this is my one. So I'm not going to look behind. I'm going to look forward. My faith is not based on the precedent. My faith is based on what God can do today. Oh, I wish we would have the church in the book of Acts. No, you don't. We need the church based on the book of Acts, but we need the church based on the word of God for Cary, Ohio. Because the book of Acts is not just the foundation. The book of Acts, it's an unfinished book in which we are supposed to keep writing and adding chapters to it. That's why it ends so suspense. Because we need to keep adding onto it. You can't have revival in your family. Let me put it this way. We can have revival in our families. We can have revival in our church. We can have revival as an individual when we don't get stuck in the precedent, but we move forward to what God wants to do. So, precedents are not always a great example. Well, I bless the people that were before us. Of course, they laid a foundation, but those times are past. Jesus is still the same. The gospel cannot change. The word of God cannot be compromised. But the church needs to create methods and different types of approaches to be able to reach a different generation because the world changed. We don't change what we know we cannot change. But there's some other things we need to change if we want those people to be changed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We can talk about revival history. Like in America, there was a healing revival that took place here after the Second World War. Then there was another revival here in America that was called the Charismatic Revival, in which the Holy Spirit filled people from different denominations and raised people like the Full Gospel Businessmen. We can talk about the other revival, that move of God that created or founded the what was called the Word of Faith movement. But those revivals are in the past. We cannot say, oh, I wish I could have the good old days. And God says, those good old days, you will never get them before again. You need to experience the good new days. Because behold, I can do a new thing. A new thing. A new thing. Is he the only one to get excited? I want more people to get excited. A new thing. Get excited, brother. A new thing. Stand up and say, yeah, yeah. Get excited. Say, yeah, yeah. Yeah, get excited. Come on, get excited. Yeah. Get excited. Come on, yeah. Yes, yes, get excited. Come on, church. Come on. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Everybody says, God stretches for revival. God stretches for revival. Say it. God stretches for revival. Yes. You may be seated in the presence of God. But yes, get excited. And you have to get excited in church. I don't want the pastor to be standing only there like, yeah, yeah, glory. And everybody's like, no. No. People get more excited at the baseball stadiums than football stadiums. Not in Cary, Ohio. We get excited here too. Yeah. Right, devil? Devil, do you hear me? We get excited here too. Yeah. Well, that's too emotional. That's why you're dead. Because you ain't got no emotions on you. And the last time I checked, God created your emotions to praise him also. David, David, David went back to the palace, and the Ark of the Covenant remained 3 months in the house of Obed-Edom. And God prospered his household. I want that kind of prosperity. No, preacher, I want to be humble. Who said that humility has anything to do with prosperity? Humbleness is a heart attitude, not a pocket attitude. There are people who are broke and they are very arrogant. And there are people who have money and they're humble. Because it's a decision of the heart. It's not a matter, it's not a condition of the outside. So, yes, I want Obed-Edom's prosperity. But I want that stretch in my life by taking the first decision. I'm not going to look back to the precedent. I'm going to look forward to the presence. And I believe that America is ready for another move of God. It is. And Donald Trump is not the one who's going to provoke it. It's the Church of Jesus Christ with the power of the Holy Ghost. And it's not talking about the gentleman that doesn't know how to use stairs. That doesn't change anything. What changes things is when we activate faith and the power of God and the effectiveness of the word of God, and we go out of these four walls and start preaching Jesus, laying hands on people in Walmart. And then if they come and say, you can't do that here, okay, thank you, I'll do it outside the door then. But nobody can stop the work of God. Brother Jorge told me when we said goodbye, we were so happy of the things that took place. And Brother Jorge and I, didn't we say this, brother? We said, we need to tell the American church that we need to do this too. They need to do this too. Okay, let me put a smile. Because I know I hit the pulpit. And that probably hurt your feelings. We're having fun, right, bro? Having fun. Now, Obed-Edom, what was the second thing that made you decide to bring that thing into your house? And Obed-Edom will probably say, well, I embraced the opportunity to serve despite the inconvenient risks of bringing an untouchable, lethal, and dangerous object into my house. I took the opportunity despite the risk. We don't like risks. We like everything to work fine. Have you ever been in a plane and then it gets bumpy? Who's the first person you look at? Don't tell me God. Don't be so spiritual. Don't tell me you first look at God. You do first look at the flight attendant. And if she's nervous, Normally they are trained to do this like, we just lost an engine, but everything is going to be okay. Don't tell me that, lady. Now, because we don't like risks. We like everything to work perfect. Perfect landing. Perfect takeoff. All the signs work. Your Wi-Fi doesn't work for 2 minutes in your house and you start freaking out. Because we want everything to work. We don't like risks. We don't like unpredictable. Let me tell you this. If you really want revival, expect unpredictable. How would you feel about having a service? Right? I love this, Pastor. I love this. How would you feel about having a service right here? Sister Betty singing with that grace that she has, and everybody's, and all of a sudden having somebody just drooling and coming through the aisle here, just shouting and screaming, possessed by the devil. Would you like to see that? Be honest with me. Because you probably has not seen it yet. It's ugly. It's unexpected. It's unpredictable. But that means the kingdom of God is here. Because that's exactly what Jesus faced when he was walking in this earth. And that's what he wants the church to experience. The power of light defeating the power of darkness. Come on. God, stretch me for revival. God, stretch me for revival. Stretch my family for revival. Stretch my church for revival. Because you think we are not connected? We might be separate, but we are connected. You are an individual that belongs to a family that belongs to a church. See, I've seen in Cuba, not here. That's in Cuba. Don't get mad at me. I'm talking about Cuba. I've seen people come into church and they feel like God is my God and I am his. That sounds great, but that's not it. God is our God and we are his. You know what I'm saying, right? And everything has to be around me and I'm the center of the world. And if they don't do this to me and it's all how I feel and it's all what I... Shut up. It's not about you. It's about us. And it's even about your family. And it's even about the church. Because we are separate, but we are connected. Tell your neighbor, we're connected. I'm ugly, but you're connected. Tell your neighbor, I'm ugly, but we're connected. You didn't like that? Say you're ugly? You didn't? Okay. We're connected. If an individual in the church hits revival, he will bring revival to his family. And if his family isn't revival, revival will break in the church too. Now, it also works the other way. If a church isn't revival, revival will hit the families of the church, and then it's going to hit people in that family. See how that works? It has to work both ways, and it has to work that way. That's exactly why the Bible says, the Bible doesn't say, and God blessed Obed-Edom, period. No, he blessed Obed-Edom and his household. His kids got blessed. His wife got blessed. His mother-in-law got blessed. Praise God for good mothers, for godly mothers-in-laws. And may the Lord save those who are not. I embrace the opportunity to serve. I saw an opportunity to serve my King David and my King Jehovah. And I knew it was risky. I knew I was going to bring into my house a type of present that is kind of dangerous. But I embraced the opportunity. We need to embrace opportunities. Let me say something. I submit to you this statement. The presence of God is always attracted to people that serve. Can I say that one more time? It's like a magnet. That's why it's so important to serve. Because we do not attract God with beautiful songs. We do not attract God with beautiful preachings. We do not attract God with nice dresses. We attract God with servanthood. Serving. And Obed-Edom said, I want revival in my house. Therefore, I'm going to take this opportunity to serve. I know there's risks, but I'm going to take it. You're taking a risk bringing Hispanics here. You're taking a risk. It's a different culture. Different types of kids. Not that we're bad people. We're not. Look at me. We're great people. We are. As a matter of fact, some of the white sugar needs some brown sugar so we can do a little good dessert for the Lord here. Some people got the analogy. Some others are like, huh? So if you embrace this, you're embracing a piece of heaven, because that's what's going to be over there. I know we're going to speak Spanish over there. I know that. So you better learn, but well, at least we're all going to be there. Just messing with you. Do you know what a tribe mentality is? Tribe mentality? The tribe mentality versus the kingdom mentality? A tribe is just a group of people that they try to keep their own little culture in their own little ways. And there's a chief. There's a chief. And there's Indians and chief. And the chief and the Indians. And then it's a little tribe, but the kingdom, it's something bigger. Now, we are not called a tribe. We are called the kingdom. So if we are part of the kingdom, we have to have a kingdom mentality, right? Because if we have a tribe mentality, being part of the kingdom, we are out of context. If you believe everything has to do with you and not the kingdom, well, let me put it this way. If I don't like this type of music, I don't like it. And you have the right not to like it. And you're fine if you don't like it. But that doesn't mean that that type of music, if it's used by somebody else to reach people for Jesus, that doesn't mean that music is not part of the kingdom. You might not like it, but the kingdom of God is bigger than your likes and dislikes. I don't like the type of carpet that they put in church. I don't like the curtains. And I don't like the audio is too low. And I don't like the shoes that Brother Randy is using. I don't like it. Who cares what you like? The kingdom of God is bigger than what you like or not. It's bigger. Matter of fact, when you are busy serving, those things don't matter to you anymore. And that's exactly what Obed-Edom said. I'm going to take this opportunity to serve despite liking or not, bringing something that can kill people into my house. But I'm going to take the opportunity because I'm going to embrace this moment to serve David and serve the kingdom. And the third thing that Obed-Edom told me, I mean, not him, he's dead, is that he was able to put God's essence over his own senses or feelings. His feelings would say, don't bring it. The essence of who God is said, I am the Lord. I'm going to stop here for a while just to tell you something. How many of you know the phrase, God is good? We were singing it earlier. In Spanish, you say, Dios es bueno. Can you repeat after me? Dios es bueno. That's one thing you can tell the Hispanics next Sunday, and they will love it. That phrase in our culture means a thousand things. Dios es bueno. Dios es bueno. Cuban coffee is good too. Dios es bueno. We all know that. We sing that. But I'm going to present you a moment where the disciples had before them two choices. They would either do things according to the character of Jesus or according to their own feelings. And it's in the book of Luke, chapter 9. From verse 54 to 56, the Bible says, when his disciples, James and John, saw this, you know what they see? What they saw? They saw rejection. They saw hurt. They saw mean words against them and Jesus by the Samaritans. And the Bible says, when they saw this, this is their prayer. They had a little prayer meeting. They said, Lord, do you want us, listen to them, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? First of all, do you have that authority really on your own? Second of all, are you quoting Elijah thinking that what he did was him? Third of all, are you guys looking at the context of when Elijah did it versus the context of what's going on now here? So all of the things I told you Jesus didn't say, but he implied them in his answer. When he said, I love this, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. Huh. In other words, do you guys realize that what you're saying does not represent the Holy Spirit, does not represent the Father, does not represent the Son? And then he says, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Let us be honest. We all know that the Bible says God is good. But isn't it true that there are some people that we would like God to judge them? At least me. Maybe I need to repent. Am I the only one who needs to repent? We all have those moments where somebody rejected us, somebody did wrong to us, somebody hurted us, and then we say, God, you are my advocate. You are my defender. But in that defender and advocate, it's also implied that language of send fire. I'm just being real. Can I be real with you? And then Jesus says, that right there does not represent me. That doesn't represent the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Because I didn't come to destroy lives. I came to save them. So we need to get deeper in this fact that God is good in how we treat others or how we pray for others. And God will bring opportunities before your eyes and before your pretty face. God will bring opportunities for you to say, I love them, I forgive them, and I want God to save them. And it's risky to give my heart to people that hurt me one time. It's risky to serve people who hit me on my cheek, but Jesus said, turn the other. It's risky, but I'm going to embrace the opportunity, and I am not going to operate based on feelings. I'm going to say something here that I told my pastors in Cuba some time ago. God gave me the opportunity to oversee over 200 churches. So working with over 200 pastors is a headache. Because they know everything. They got 3 people in church for 25 years, but they know everything. Some of them want to call apostles, but they have not sent a bird to hunt something. I mean, nothing. They've sent nothing. So I'm talking about Cuba, okay? Just making sure you know I'm talking about Cuba. So many of them had issues sometimes in their churches because some members were saying this about them and this about them. This is anointed. Love you, brother. And some of them were mad at these members, and then a family here were rising up against me, and they're talking blah, 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 and they came to the office in the district like, I want to quit the ministry because it's unfair. I've been serving that church with all my heart, and they're talking about me. And I said, listen. This is something you have to leave outside when you get in the ministry. You have to leave your feelings outside. But I'm talking about leaders too. When you become a leader, take your feelings, hang them outside the door, and say, bye-bye. You know why? Because when you get in a position of leadership, you are a target, and not necessarily the evangelistic meeting, but you are a target for hurt, for mouth talking, for gossip. You're a target for all kinds of stuff. And if you're going to operate based on feelings, you're not going to get anywhere. You're going to get bruised and abused. That's the hard thing about ministry and leadership. That what you feel no longer counts. Here's the thing. Because now when you start serving, you're going to have to operate led by the Spirit of God and not feelings. Feelings would tell Obed Edom, do not bring that thing. Calling would tell him, serve and put your feelings aside. Because when you are serving God, what you think or feel cannot be the first. The first thing has to be what God feels and what God thinks. And then what people think and feel has to be something that you have to take notice of. Otherwise, If you wipe out everybody who comes with an opinion, you're not a leader. You're a dictator. I'm preaching kingdom. I'm just teaching some church here how we do church. We want to be effective. We have to serve despite the risks, but we got to leave the feelings outside. When Pastor Joe tells me something that it sounds hard, this is my first phrase. He's got nothing personal against me. This is ministry. This is leadership. And I'm going to do it. And I'm going to fix it. And I'm going to add. Maybe I'm giving him an idea that he'll say, that's great, bro. That's what we've been doing, right?
Yeah.
Why would I get hurt? Why? Because it's not me. The important thing is that we get the job done.
Yeah.
And if by... Come on, guys. How many of you work at a company where you know your boss will tell you things like they are? You don't get mad at your boss because you have a paycheck, huh? Well, the kingdom of God is greater than your paycheck. And if I ask Obed-Edom, was your feelings first? He said, Darius, no. My feelings were telling me, do not take that presence of God in here. It's risky. But my obedience and commitment said, I'm not going to operate based on feelings. I'm going to operate based on obedience. And that's called maturity. That's called growing up. That's called being mature in the Lord. I'm going to say something here, and it's very prophetic. Not pathetic, but prophetic. I'm an outsider. Not anymore, okay? But I'm still knowing the church. And I have a little bit of experience in the ministry. And this is how I see this church right now. This church is on the edge of causing a tremendous impact in all this region. God has brought all the resources and the potential that the church needs to cause an impact. We just need to get together a little bit more. We just need to leave our feelings outside. We just need to get the job done before our feelings. What's that song? Feelings. Leave him outside. There's a job to be done. Leave him outside. Leave him outside. But he heard me. Shut up. Leave him outside. Get the job done. Hands on deck. Get it done. Kingdom of God is bigger than my feelings. The kingdom of God is bigger than what I think. The kingdom of God is saving souls from hell to heaven. And that's what counts. It matters. We are in the business of saving people from hell, bringing them to heaven. And that's serious business. A surgeon fixes his mistake with some stitches. A butcher fixes his cut with adding more pounds. But we cannot fix the mistakes we made because we send people to hell if we don't. It's serious. Serious. Let's recap a little bit here. We want revival. Focus on the presence and not the precedent. Focus on the presence of God and what he can do and not the precedent or the precedent. Number two, embrace the opportunities with all the inconvenient risks because God is with us. And let us put the intrinsic nature and character of God over our feelings. King David is in his throne. And somebody comes and brings a report and says, King David, I have news for you. And David says, yeah, I read it on Facebook. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, say it. And then the reporter says, do you remember you left the Ark of the Covenant in the house of Obed-Edom? Yes, of course I remember that. I'm still sad because my friend Uzzah died that day because of my irresponsibility. Well, David, you need to know this. This is the talk of the hood. The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom, and everybody is seeing how God has blessed him because the Ark of the Covenant is there. And David says, well, maybe it's time for me to bring that thing to Jerusalem. I'll go talk to him. Hey, Obed-Edom, how have you been? You're still alive, right?
Right.
Your kids are alive.
Right.
Nothing has happened with the Ark. Okay, here's the thing. I'm taking it home. I'm taking the Ark home. And Obed-Edom will say, you do what, David? Yeah, I'm taking it home. I have to. Because it belongs to Jerusalem. And then Obed-Edom says, but if you take that thing from me, after I took the heat in the rough moments, the blessing of God is going to leave me. God will leave me if you take that out of my house. Is that what Obed-Edom did? No. Well, the Bible doesn't say he did that, but the Bible says that David was able to get that ark out. Now, here's the thing. Here's what blows my mind. This is what happened. This is so important, brother. Because David told Obed-Edom and his family, I'm not just taking the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. You and your house are coming with me. And they all moved to Jerusalem with the Ark. And here's the thing. David appointed Obed-Edom's son to be gatekeepers in the house of the Lord. Gatekeepers in the palace. Gatekeepers in the place where they put the ark. If you have time to study what a gatekeeper was, you must understand he was a very high, important VIP, whatever you want to call it, a very trustworthy position in the kingdom. So here's what really, really blesses me. Here's the thing with the Holy Spirit. When you get connected to God's presence in this way, and you get connected to the calling in this way, and you get connected with God in that way, you will never be disconnected again, because God will promote you in his kingdom from glory to glory. Yes, yes, yes. Give the Lord some praise today. That's the God we serve. That's the God we serve. Now, I'm closing with this. How many times can I say I'm closing? Five? I'm going to burn one, huh? At least three? He said five. He's older than you, so I'm sorry, Abel. And he's got nicer shoes, too, than you, so. Man, I'm digging those shoes, I'm telling you. You look at them later. This guy is a prince of the kingdom. Yeah. You are. Yeah. So, Obed-Edom, you know what his name means? His name means servant of the blood. Obed means servant, and then Edom, the root word is the word dam, which is blood. Servant of the blood. And I thought, aren't we servants of the one who shed his blood? Aren't we supposed to be focused on his presence and not the past? Aren't we supposed to embrace opportunities despite the risks? Aren't we supposed to put our feelings aside and get the job done? That way we'll always stay connected to the King and his kingdom. God stretches for revival. I'm going to say this one more time. And I want that to be also my prayer. God, stretch me for revival. If you're happy with your little Sunday religion, that's fine. But I'm not happy with just seeing God one day a week. I want to see him every day, even outside of this
four walls, at my job place, with my friends. I want to see him. I want to see him using me. I want to see my workmates on their knees giving their lives to Jesus because of my prayer and because of my witnessing and because of I told them that I serve the Lord. I want to see that. I want to see revival in my work. You know, I enjoy when people tell stories about what's going on in their workplace. I enjoy when Jesse tells the stories about things God is doing in his workplace through him. I enjoy that because that speaks to me about kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Not kingdom inside the building as it is in heaven. It's kingdom on earth. Last time I checked, that town that are there named Cary, Ohio, it's earth. Kingdom in Cary, Ohio. God stretched me for a revival. I want you to stand on your feet, please. And this is the conclusion of my sermon this morning. I'm a firm believer that there is power in our tongues. There is life and death in our words. Four people agree with me. I don't know if the rest agree too. Let me ask it again. There is power in what we speak. There is life or death in our words. Okay, 25 people agree. Now let me say it again because I need everybody to understand that. Yeah, I'm here to afflict the comfort and comfort the afflicted. There is power of life and death in our words. That's why you don't come to your kids and say you're useless. You're no good for nothing. If I take you to the dog outside to pee, you don't know how to do it. No, you don't do that. You speak life. You speak. You're going to be somebody who's going to glorify God. You're going to serve God. You're going to love God. That's why you just speak bad things about nobody, because there is life and death in our words. It's serious. And I want to help you and help myself to here today to make some declarations upon yourself, upon your family, and upon the church that you come to. This is your best restaurant. Because you can go to Olive Garden, Texas Roadhouse, eat a big old steak, but then you go to the toilet and it's gone. I'm sorry I put that image in your head. I'm sorry about that. That's just what happens. Jesus talked about it, didn't he? So blame it on him if you want. He talked about it. But the food that you eat here is eternal, brings life, builds up not the fat, but brings up your spirit. And the food that you eat here is the one that really keeps you going. It's the one that really keeps you going. So, huh? Right. So, the reason I'm saying this is because the least we can do is to speak life, prosperity, and blessings upon this house, upon the pastors, upon the leaders, upon yourself. That's the least we can do. So we're going to make these declarations. You can bring them on the... You can read the ones in Spanish if you want. Yeah, I'm going to hear that. Declaraciones, mi vida. Exactly how I read English when I first started learning. So I encourage you to learn Spanish and you'll be able to read that way. Pastor Alicia is actually pretty good. She could learn Spanish. Pastor Joe, I don't know. But he tries. We're going to read these declarations with a loud voice, if you will. And I'm going to count on 20 people that call themselves Pentecostals and know how to shout. 20. I just need 20. If one more is added on to 20, that's good. But if the rest want to stay out of it and you want to play true Baptist, God loves you too. Amen. Amen. Love my brothers and sisters in the Baptist church. But we're Pentecostals. We're no better than them, but normally we shout. Ah, we shout. So let's shout it out, these declarations, with me. At a count of three, one, two, three. My life is connected to the Spirit. Therefore, nothing can take away God's blessings from me. I speak promotion over my life, over my family, and over my church. Amen. Yes, praise God. Hallelujah. Are you ready for the second one? In faith. We speak this word in faith. Number two. One, two, three. My family is connected to the Spirit. No devil in hell can destroy my house. God's blessings will increase over my life, my family, and my church. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I heard the Spirit of God just say me, the devil is mad at this kind of declarations and people who believe these things. Number three, one, two, three. My church is connected to the Spirit of God. Therefore, we will go from glory to glory, from victory to victory, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Give the Lord some praise. Come on, give Him some praise. Him, give Him some praise. Come on. Clap your hands and open your mouth and say, you are great. You are awesome. You are great. You are awesome. There's no one like you, Jesus. You are the great I am. You are the God of Cary, Ohio. You're going to turn this city upside down. You're going to use us for your glory. We're going to see people from all nations coming to this house. We believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. We believe there is healing. We believe there is miracles. We believe there is resurrection. We believe right now the Holy Ghost is moving with fire upon those that believe the word of God. Come on, give Him God some praise. If you still got some praise to God, if you still got some praise, give it to Him. Give it to Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is worthy of your praise. God is worthy of your praise. I said, God is worthy of your praise. I know you're ready to go home, but I'm not. And I am the one leading this thing now. So God is worthy to be praised. God is worthy to be honored. Something can break when you praise God, people. Healing can happen in your body when you praise God, people. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Where are the 20 Pentecostals out that praise the Lord? 20. Just 20 that lift their hands and say, praise the Lord. Praise God. I'm helping you out. I'm helping you to get rid of whatever is hindering you for praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, we believe in the Holy Ghost. Yes, we believe in the fire. Yes, we believe in speaking in tongues. Oh, glory to God. You believe that God can touch you where you are right now. If you have something in your body, God can touch you right now. Just pray to Him. Just open your arms. Lift your arms to heaven and say, I'm here. I'm ready. I'm here. I'm ready. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the great I am. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy. This is what we're going to do. Put your hands right to the person next to you. Put your hand on the shoulder respectfully and pray a blessing, pray a blessing, pray a blessing, pray a blessing, pray a blessing. Come on, pray a blessing, pray a blessing. Well, let me say that. Pray a blessing. Do not whisper a blessing. Pray a blessing. Yes, yes, yes. I'm causing some noise because I know there is power in the sound of the people of God. Come on. Pray a blessing. Pray a blessing. I don't hear you praying. I can hear you. Okay, brother, God hears me. No, we're talking about corporate prayer. We're talking about the prayer that the people of God can make. It's all over the Bible. We can pray in a loud voice. We can ask God for blessings. Let the fire fall. Let the fire burn. Anything that is hindering my brother and my sister. Give him victory. Give him victory. I bless the family. I bless the household. I bless them. I bless them. I bless them.
I bless you guys in the name of Jesus. I speak against any attack of the devil in the name of Jesus. And I speak blessings. A great victory is coming. A great victory is coming in the name of Jesus. A great victory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to the Lord. Glory to God. 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 If you know he's alive, make some noise for him. Make some noise. Give him your praise. Clap your hands for Jesus. He is alive. He's alive. I believe as we're praising God, people who came with certain pain and things in their body, they're gone in the name of Jesus. They're gone in the name of Jesus. I speak life to your body in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. My King, my Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel like saying these words. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, O God. You are worthy to be praised. Say with me, you are Alpha and Omega. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you. We worship you, O Lord. You are worthy to be praised. This part says, we give you all the glory. We worship you, O Lord. Are worthy to be praised. We give you all the glory. We worship you, O Lord. You are worthy to be praised. Isn't he worthy to be praised? Amen.
This was on my heart as Pastor Darius was ministering, just to remind the church that God spoke to us prophetically a while back. I can't remember exactly when it was, but God spoke to us and told us he's given us a key. And the key is our praise. And our praise unlocks things. And so what we were doing this morning is we were demonstrating that as we begin to praise God, things become unlocked. Things that were bound in us become loosed. We can actually speak into situations with our praise and see things unlocked. And so this is what I heard God say to me, not only to remind you of that, but watch your words. There's power of life and death in the tongue, right? He said it over and over, had us declare it, right? If we keep speaking negative things over the situation that we're going through, then we're not grabbing a hold of the key that God gave us and unlocking the answer. It will stay bound up, it will stay tied up, and it will not be loosed until we loose our praise. Mama said, if you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. So what you do then is instead of talking about the situation, don't we just love to do that? We just mumble and complain and whine about the situation. Instead of doing that, you turn your face to God your Father and you just begin to give him praise. I thank you, God, that you said you'd never leave me or forsake me. You're with me right now. Through this tough situation I'm facing, you're with me right now. You said that you are my answer. And so I'm calling upon you, Ryan. I praise you. I exalt you and magnify you in my life, not my problems. Because the more we talk about our problems, the bigger they get and the smaller our God gets. But the more we talk about our God, the bigger he gets and the smaller our problems get. And then we see he is the answer and the solution. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 So I don't know about you, but I'm planning on coming to church next week with stretch marks. Stretch me for revival. Stretch me. Come on. Stretch me. I'm going to have stretch marks all over me because I'm going to let the Holy Spirit stretch me, prepare me, make my heart ready for a living God to revive my heart and soul. Amen. Hasn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Hasn't it been good to be in the house of the Lord? I tell you what, God is good. Thank you, Pastor Darius, for that word that stirred us. Now, this word is not for us to just go, oh, wasn't that a nice sermon? Oh, I just so enjoy Pastor Darius and his preaching. Because if we're going to be watching you this week, and if you don't live it, he's going to come back and preach it again next week. I love that. I knew that's where you were going with it, but I was like, man, I wonder if I could get away with that. Hallelujah. I love having fun. Don't you love having fun? And guess what? The Holy Spirit didn't leave because we're joking and laughing. He's still right here with us. And we're going to take him with us when we leave this place. And we are going to be his mighty army this week. And we're going to conquer the kingdom of darkness, aren't we? Because we are the kingdom of light. Father God, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for reminding us that you have given us your word to declare in our life and not to be whining and complaining about our situation. But God, we speak in faith over them. We speak in faith over every family, over every circumstance right now. We declare in faith that God, you are moving and we are seeing the victory. For you have already won it on the cross, Jesus. And now we receive it by faith. Now, God, I pray a blessing upon every home and family that's represented here, whether watching online or in person. God, multiply grace and peace into their lives right now. May your face shine upon them, Lord Jesus. And may they walk and bask in your presence as they leave this place and go throughout this week, Lord. You see the trials that they're facing. You see the things that are going to come at them this week. But God, I thank you that you have already made them victorious. And they are more than conquerors and overcomers through you, Jesus. We thank you for everything that you're accomplishing in this church. But not only in us, but what you're giving us so that we can give to others. So I thank you for a great testimony of ministry from our lives into others this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful Sunday. Don't forget to get your kids from YCS.